This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Listen, all you New Yorkers.
It's the Pete Hoffman Show on WFAN.
.888-808-1019. Pete off with you on the fan till 5 when Richard Neer takes over. And the NHL has decided to put this Four Nations tournament together, which I know I see some slight buzz about it. There's, you know, four teams, Canada, USA, Finland, and Sweden are in this four-team tournament. And how exciting is it? And basically, you know, I haven't watched a game yet, and I love hockey, and I'm usually into some of this stuff, but this tournament, they picked the wrong time. Like, to me, I am missing my NHL experience. I'm missing my Rangers. I'm missing the regular season right now, and it's frustrating because there is nothing else on. There is absolutely nothing else. The NBA's in hiatus because they're going. They got the All-Star break, which we already know how many people can't stand All-Star games in general. Like, there's nothing to watch right now. Football season's over. Spring training has just started, but, like, it's pitchers and catchers, so there's absolutely no games. You have you talk about a league that kicked themselves in the butt. They legitimately had the sport world to themselves. They could have made this weekend special. They could have done some really cool things. Instead, you have, and I understand people are, you know, have said, well, listen, they're highlighting their best players. First of all, no, you're not. You're not highlighting every best player because you only got four teams worth. And there's certain players that aren't playing. Like, the Russians aren't playing. They're really good at hockey. There's no Russian team. So, like, there's four teams that are playing, and you have to be of a certain, you know, background to be able to play on these teams, no? So, not everybody of the on the top is playing in this tournament, and you're missing out. Like, you could have put together some really good matchups, some really good, you know, just whatever, like prime time games. Make it accessible to everyone to watch, because guess what? On Sunday, for example, I'm going to want to watch some sort of game. So put together a Rangers versus Bruins. Put together a Rangers Islanders, Rangers Devils, whatever it is. Maybe that's when you put the outside game that they usually do, the outdoor game that they usually do every year. I'm like, maybe that's when you do it. But, like, highlight the hell out of it during this week. Like, take advantage of it. I don't understand what is wrong with the NHL? And like, you're stopping a season, which I'm already into. See, now the difference is, I guess, I'm into the NHL season. I enjoy the NHL season. I'm into this playoff run that the Rangers are kind of like, you know, back in right now. They're still, you know, out of the playoffs, but they're making a final playoff push, you know, with less than 30 games left. And you're stopping the season now for it? Like, this should have been done a month or two ago. Not now. So I totally disagree with how the NHL went about this tournament. And it just made, they just made a huge mistake on the layout, the timing, and especially just the fact that they didn't even publicize it well enough. Like, some people don't know what's going on. Like, some people have no idea that the hockey season has basically stopped for 2 weeks and will start up again once this tournament's over. No idea. So you basically have a tournament where you forgot to promote the heck out of it, and you picked a bad time to do it. So I love the NHL. You got to get your stuff together. You've got to do a better job. This is simple right here. This is simple mathematics. Hey, nothing else is on. There's no sports. This is where NHL should be on every night. There should be multiple games on. Showcase the hell out of it. And instead, we got to... I understand you think you're making a tournament, a fun tournament. But to be honest with you, all I worry about right now is don't get hurt. I don't care about this tournament. I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, USA's going to win this. I don't give a crap. I want everyone to come out healthy. It's like the stupid NBA, halftime tournament, whatever. What do they call the half? What's the midseason trophy or mint julep? What is it?
Oh,
called?
like the all star like tournament thing.
Whatever. It's not an all star tournament, but yes, they have the midseason tournament thing that they do. For half a second, that I think who even won this year? I don't even know. I know last year was the Lakers. I think this year was maybe the Bucks. I couldn't tell you. Nor do I care. That's the point. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about these stupid tournaments in season. Like, once the season has started, let the season go. Don't give me this, oh, we're going to break it up and put together a stupid tournament. Like, at least the World Baseball Classic is before the baseball season starts. I still don't agree with the World Baseball Classic, but it's at least before the season starts. Once the season starts, don't interrupt and stop my season for a stupid tournament that nobody cares about, nobody connects to. And I hear, soccer does it. You know, soccer is this amazing European sport, this national sport that honestly, I don't think even soccer fans know what the hell they're watching half the time. I don't know what league, if they know what leagues they're watching. There's so much soccer. You put on a game and you watch it because you like to bet. You like to watch soccer, whatever the case is. There's something to talk about. There's something to drink to, whatever it is. It's on during the day. You know? But for soccer, there's endless amounts of things. So it kind of all combines together. There's friendlies. There's tournaments. There's, you know, and you rent out players every other week. I mean, there's so many stupid rules to soccer, which is makes everything so convoluted where it's just like, all right, whatever, we got soccer. There's 17 billion leagues. There's 30,000 teams. There's 160 billion players that play soccer from rec league to freaking, premier leagues. I mean, everything is a soccer league. But nobody knows who they belong to and how or why. But whatever, who cares? Combine it all together. Do tournaments. Do whatever you want. Nobody knows the difference. Nobody cares about the difference. It's all one big season. It all goes on forever. It never ends. Meanwhile, in these other sports, yeah, once you start, don't stop. You play enough. You know, you that is like the equivalent. See, the thing about soccer is this. They usually play games once a week, if I'm correct. Teams play in a season once a week. But you can play multiple times. Like, I know that it's grueling on the body. It's a long 90-minute game. But it's not like football where you're legitimately, like, getting hit hard and are hurting your body in ways where it's tough to recover. Soccer, don't get me wrong, like there's contact, people getting hurt all the time, people are throwing their bodies all over the place, but there's not getting like tackled, physically tackled. They might get kicked and it might fall down, but they're not getting tackled the same way, with shoulder pads and whatnot that like in football. That's the reason why football, NFL football, is stretched out for a week at a time. You can't play more than that. I know that we got the Monday night games or the Thursday night games. Sometimes things get sped up and you got to play a quick turnaround. It's not healthy. It's not good. But the point is that like soccer, you can mess around and do other stupid things and it's just not going to make a difference. But for the American sports, it does make a difference. For me, it ruins the experience. I'm not watching this stupid tournament. I'm not turning on this hockey tournament. What I'm doing is I'm getting bothered that the Rangers haven't caught up to that final playoff spot yet. And we're delaying. And there's a possibility that maybe my players are going to get injured in this stupid tournament. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phone calls. We opened with some Giants stuff with Matthew Stafford. I eventually hit the Jets and what their plan of action is. And I'm happy that the Jets have moved on from Aaron Rodgers. Philip is in Jamaica. What's up, Philip?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Always a pleasure. And I want to talk about the Jets.
Yes.
And I'm very impressed with Aaron Glenn. I think he deserves a lot of credit because I honestly thought he would give it to Aaron Rodgers because he's an experienced quarterback and Rodgers would basically have control of the team like he did with the other,
right,
Sala. But Glenn put him in his place, didn't like Rodgers' answer. So,
well, that's debatable. That's debatable. We're still not sure if that's the reality of it because there's some people that have said that it's a that the Rossini article doesn't have all the facts, that there was no ultimatum on the Pat McAfee stuff, and it just so that I don't know if that's true or not.
Okay, well, my question is, how do you think the teammates, like Sauce Gardner, how do you think they would react to Glenn, that Rodgers not coming back? Because they liked Rodgers. Do you think the team would react in a negative way or a positive
way? Yeah, there's
way?
Some players that aren't happy that they're going to be rebuilding. Well, guess what? Get rid of those guys. So there is this thing called cleaning house. And there are certain players in that organization that, A, shouldn't be there anyway because I don't think they're as talented as we thought they were. So I think it's time to move on from certain guys. If there's someone that, that's part of the reason why you do exit interviews after the season's over, get a read, get a feel for certain players, or, see how people, really feel about the situation at hand. And, you're going to have to make tough decisions. You're going to have to maybe there's a trade opportunity for some of these players. But I believe it was Quinnen Williams who said that, oh, great, here we go, rebuilding again, not happy about that. It's for those people that are not happy about it, you move on from it. You have to have a good locker room. You have to have people that are buying in. I'll tell you this much, and I talked about the Giants a lot early in the beginning of the show. The Giants locker room, I know that they only had three wins last year, but the Giants locker room, I know that there were some bad losses, so that some of those bad losses didn't feel so good. But the locker room never looked or felt like it was lost. It never looked like people were done with the coach. I know some people, listen, some people are personalities. Some people, like Malik Nabers, says what he says. Like, that's it. It is. He says what he says. End of story. Whether it's a good game, bad game, whatever, he says what he says, and they're not going to really be able to control that. But the leaders, Brian Burns, Jermaine Illuminor, Dexter Lawrence, you talk about these leaders on the team, and they were just very supportive of their head coach at all times. So I think that the locker room was never gone. With the Jets, you have to make sure that you, as a new head coach coming in here, that you have the locker room. You have to pull that that Dan Campbell type of go in there and bite people's kneecaps or whatever he said to people, And listen, Dan Campbell was a different beast, but he got the players to play. Now, maybe he also had a really good cast around him. Maybe, and thanks so much for the phone call, Philip. Maybe he had a good, good cast around him, got good some good, you know, hires with the coordinators, had some, you know, good pickups. The fact that Jared Goff came in and that worked out. I mean, he's got good talented team, good talented players. So it all worked out, but, you know, you need to be able to have that type of ability to go into a locker room and make sure, even after, you know, a season that was bad, you know, these guys are returning and some of them are getting older. They don't want to rebuild. They don't want to start all over again. They want to win now. They want to win something. And so far, anybody that right now has been a lifetime Jet only knows losing. That's it. They've never won a thing. So you've got to inspire and you've got to build trust. And you've got to make sure that you have their attention, though, too, and that they're going to put out for you, because otherwise it's just a waste of time. Otherwise, you're going to have just people going out there. Listen, you can't have a dead season with Aaron Glenn in year one. And that's why it was important to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. 888-808-1019. Let's get to I was talking about the NHL stuff. Jason in Middletown has something to say about it. What's up, Jason?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. I'm a little ticked that my hockey season has been interrupted.
All right. I'm a little ticked that you don't like that the fact that, like, you know, people are playing for their countries and stuff, you know?
I don't mind that, you, Jason.
Well, you said nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody.
People do care.
But here's the thing is, nobody cares right now. No, honestly, there's no buzz about it whatsoever. And I'm all about, like, you know, playing for your country, doing all that stuff. There's got to be times to do it. This is not the time to do it mid-season. Don't stop the season for this. They do it all the time. It's so stupid. It happens all the time, whether it's Olympics, whether it's whatever. It's like there's got to be a better time, not mid-season. I'm sorry. Don't interrupt my season for this.
Well, the All-Star break would be the same time anyway. So what would
be
the
difference? An extra week off. They're taking 2 weeks off. And here's the thing is, like, you had an opportunity. I know that they could take a week off. They could do whatever they want from All-Star break. But you have an opportunity right now to highlight and really bolster up the NHL as a whole. This week, there's nothing going on. If you wanted to tell me.
I do agree with you with that. They could have bolstered it up a lot more.
Yeah. So
they could have. I understand that.
Jason, if you want to tell me and say, hey, listen, man, I'm all about the tournament. This tournament's great, and I love the pride of the country.
Especially with the countries, you know.
That's fine. But they still got to do something to then bolster it up and make it more impactful, because so many people don't even know what's going on.
Especially, like you said, when there's no sports going on right now.
Right. You know? There's nothing happening, and I don't even know that there's hockey going on, that there's a tournament. The only reason why I know what's going on is because the Rangers haven't played in 5 days. That's why I know it's going on. That's why I know.
So, let me ask you this. You said nobody cares, but some people do care, and I'm one of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Not enough.
All right. Well, I know it's not enough.
No, it's not enough.
But
it's not enough.
But
Jason.
But I do care. But so is your point that it wasn't like, you know, advertised as much, or that nobody cares at all? Unless it's an All-Star game. Because the All-Star game at this point is a joke.
Oh, no, the All-Star game is terrible. I don't care about the All-Star game, too. I'm not watching the All-Star game as well. I just think that if you're going to take 2 weeks off of the NHL season, because that's what they're doing. Remember, if it's an All-Star game, they're not taking 2 weeks off. They're taking a weekend off. You know, maybe they stop on a Thursday.
100%.
And they come back on a Monday or Tuesday, whatever. So you get 5 days off. You are taking 2 weeks off from the NHL. You're stopping everything. And you're not highlighting it. You're not making it a big deal. I'm not seeing, like, on social media, I'm not seeing enough highlights. I'm not seeing enough pop. There's not enough going on. So you've basically failed. You've basically put together a product and tried to put together this tournament, trying to do something that's quote-unquote different or cool, and nobody knows about it.
And nobody's interested is what you say, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not even...
You know,
People
on the other hand,
yeah, go for it.
Just being biased as a Devils fan or whatever, you know, it helps my team get more healthy with the 2 weeks. You know,
well,
with people out,
but yeah, because you have a goalie that's been hurt for about what, 3 weeks now, 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you get him back sooner. And,
I just said I'm being biased, you know.
You know, Jason, screw you. No, I'm joking. I get it. Listen, the Devils need him back. I understand that. Markstrom is a huge piece of the puzzle. You cannot. Who's the backup right now? Jake Allen,
Allen,
right?
Yeah, Jake Allen.
Yeah, Jake Allen is not going to cut it through.
And then Dawes, if everything else fails.
Well, you don't want that either. Listen, Hughes, but you're telling me right now, like, if Hughes gets hurt, and this is the thing about, like, all right.
So, and he always gets hurt.
Okay. But we've gone through this with the Mets in the WBC. And I understand that, like, you know, All-Star games happen. You get hurt in the All-Star game. The WBC's during spring training, so you can get hurt in spring training games.
With
all
Diaz, the baseball thing, when he jumped up and, you know,
right.
And he was hurt
But if Jack Hughes gets hurt in this tournament, it's not going to feel pretty good. You're not going to be very happy about it.
Demoralizing. Totally demoralizing. Understood.
Right. So, I mean,
So there's two different things we're talking about here. Is it not, you know, like,
it's
televised enough or not advertised
it's
as much?
It's both.
Or are you afraid people get hurt?
Well, no, it's not. I'm not afraid people getting hurt. I think there's no reason to put a tournament that has nothing to do with the league whatsoever. I mean, it has nothing to do with the league because you're using the players from the league. But I would not put together a tournament like this.
Understood. It has nothing to do with the NHL in general, just the players. Understood.
Right. And again, on top of that, the fact that they're not even televising it properly, that's the other thing. So there's like it's twofold. There's two things right here that are really pissing me off about this NHL tournament. And it's partly because of the players, you know, going over and you know, basically taking the time away from our league. But then the other thing is they're not doing it well enough to televise it. So,
and also, not for nothing, let's not forget, and I'm with you on everything we're talking about. You know what I mean? I'm objective. You know what I mean? I'm talking to you.
Well, that's good. I agree. I appreciate that. You know? It's good to have a conversation
also,
with you.
Also, like, no, believe me, man. I didn't come here just to say, like, how dare you? You know what I mean? Also, like, you know, Russia can't play. You know what I mean?
Right,
that
I know.
That takes away a lot from it. You know what I mean? They're not allowed to play.
Yeah, I mean,
with their sanctions and stuff, you know?
Yes, that's the four, like, you know, that was the gripe that I heard. Well, you're highlighting the best players in the league. Well, no, but some of your best players can't play because their nation's not involved. There's four nations. That's it.
Correct. Because of the Ukraine thing. Exactly.
Yeah. So, and listen, I get it. I'm just not happy. And I don't think I'm going to be happy until this thing is over. As long as everyone comes out unscathed, no one gets hurt, then maybe I'll be happier. But until then, like, let's just move on. Like, I don't have time for this.
In a perfect world, if nobody gets hurt and USA wins, we'll all be happy.
There you go. Good job, Jason. Thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate it. 888-808-1019. We will get back to your phone calls after this. 888-808-1019. Hit me up on social media at Hoff, WFAN.
Life is hard, and so am I. You better give me something so I don't die.
Pete off with you on the Fan for another 2.5 hours until Richard Neer takes over. You know, are you happy that Pete Alonso's back, Jack? Are you happy that Pete Alonso is back with the Mets? Are you comfortable? Are you happy about the Mets where they are?
I am happy that they re-signed Pete Alonso. I am, and then I'm also, like, I'm afraid that just with, like, the Mets' karma, like, we re-sign him, and I just, like, in my head, I'm like, I just hope he doesn't go out and play terribly.
No. Listen, Pete Alonso works too hard to have, like...
And he's not going to let that happen.
Like, let me put it this way. The what could happen is, the worst that could happen is he turns into a Chris Davis, Joey Gallo type of player where he just falls off the face of the earth.
Right.
That's not going to happen this year. Like, I'm telling you right now, Pete Alonso, he needs 27 home runs to take, you know, to take the record from Darryl Strawberry with the most home runs in a Mets uniform. And that's not happening this year. Like, that's not happening as far as him not getting it. Like, he's breaking the record. There's no doubt in my mind that Pete Alonso is going to walk away this season as the home run king of the New York Mets. Not saying that it's the greatest number in all the world, no question. Like there's only two other teams in baseball that have a lower player with the most home runs on their team. I'm trying to remember what it was. San Diego Padres with Manny Machado. And the other team was, I'm blanking on the other team now. I'll remember a few. But regardless, it was 200-something as well. It wasn't a lot. So there's only two teams in baseball that their home run kings are less than the Mets. The Mets have been around for 60 years. You know, it's not like they're a new team. It's not like they're like, you know, the Rays, the Rockies. No, they've been around since 62. And their history is not good. So, I mean, that's why Pete Alonso, not saying that, oh, well, that's why you got to keep Pete Alonso around. No, I got to be honest with you. Juan Soto is going to break every record. Juan Soto is going to be here for 15 years. Juan Soto should put up numbers that if Juan Soto doesn't finish his career at the top of every single Met record out there, then he failed. Let's put it that way. Then we're in some serious trouble. If that's the case, but I'm convinced that Pete Alonso is not just going to have a good season. He's going to have a great season, and he's going to walk away with a bigger contract offer going into next season, not from the Mets, but from another team. It's going to happen. And listen, it's the game that David Stearns wants to play. He doesn't want to give contracts to guys that are, you know, older, like Pete Alonso at just 30 years old. But he doesn't want to give contracts out to guys like Pete Alonso. So that sucks. It's one of those things where it's like, damn, you know what? It would be so cool to have Pete Alonso to be a lifetime Met. It's not going to happen. But I am happy that he's back with the team. I do think he's going to be productive. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I am very happy that the Mets and Pete Alonso figured this out. I really am. I could just see my biggest thing is, like I don't think he's going to, like, play badly. I really don't. I think he's a great player. I think he's a smart person in terms of, like, you know, staying up with, like, working out and staying healthy. But I could totally see, like, with this whole contract thing, like, dragging out forever, like, the fan base would be like, all right, dude, like, you know, you asked for all this stuff, like, go out there and play well. And I feel like if it doesn't start off hot right away, that people are going to start, like, all right, dude, like, you tried that, all this stuff. And
he had a bad season.
Kind of turn on him a little bit. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Well, listen, but here's the thing is the fans were turning on him last year.
That's like, true.
The fans were turning on him last year, and it wasn't working out. It wasn't a great season for him.
No.
And, you know, it's funny because Evan and I did on one of the most recent episodes of Rico Bronya, we went through Pete Alonso's home runs. Now, we did it last we did it during the first half of the season. We went through all of Pete Alonso's first half home runs and said basically, was it clutch, was it mid, or was it crap?
Yeah.
And then we did that again in the second half, all his home runs. Was it clutch, was it mid, or was it crap? Like, did it make a difference at all? Was it just a bad timing of it, or was it like a really clutch home run? And I got to be honest with you, there's a lot more clutch home runs for Pete Alonso than a lot of people want to give him credit for. Now, it may they weren't really in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning. That's the issue. They weren't in the big spot in the late innings. They were early innings. They were, you know, first, second inning type of deal, you know. But he would break the game open with a, you know,
right.
I wouldn't say break the game open, but he'd hit a solo home run in the first inning when the score is 0-0. I mean, not for nothing, but that home run's important, you know?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. It's not like his home run's like, oh, that's a useless home run. But he's not going out in the bottom of the ninth hitting a walk-off home run to seal the game. Absolutely
right.
Not. And I remember that series against the Brewers right before he hit that insane home run.
Yeah.
Remember when he dropped the pop fly?
I think everyone remembers.
And I just remember I was here, and I'm like pulling my hair out, and I'm like, dude, like, if we lose this game, everyone is going to remember you as the guy that dropped that pop fly.
Oh, yeah, it's done. You're done.
You're going to be laughed at in New York, and no one's going to care that you're gone. And I felt so bad in that moment because I'm like, I love you. I love Pete, but you made the biggest bonehead mistake ever. But then he redeemed himself by going off and hitting a two-run home run that made them win the game and advance into the playoffs, which was amazing.
Yeah, no, listen, here's the deal. Like we all know that Pete Alonso has deficiencies defensively, and
yeah.
He's done it many times where we went to the game that BT and Sal and I went to, and I think Gallo went with us. Yeah, Anthony Gallo went with us too. He dropped the ball the same way as well. Like, he just has an issue walking back, and it's not walking back, but going back and trying to catch a foul ball or whatever it is, those pop flies kill him every time. He doesn't have the great accuracy going from first to second throwing a ball. Like, we know his deficiencies for sure. He's going to work on it. That's what he always does. But the thing is, yes, you are correct. In that moment, he was going to lose a lot of people. He was going to lose a lot of fans. That home run definitely brought people back. But I think that no matter what, people still were set on what he did last season,
right?
And thought that he wasn't clutch enough, and that it was okay for him to leave. I think it obviously it's impactful that Pete Alonso's back,
no doubt.
And again, this team is going to thrive off of a lot of offense, and you just got to cross your fingers that the pitching is going to be able to hold up. The bullpen, I think, is much better. I was actually going through the numbers and the names with Evan. During a Rico, there are a lot of names. Now, listen, there's a couple guys that have Tommy John, so they're not playing this year. But there's some names that like are not retreads, but like Chris Davinsky at some point in time was a really good relief pitcher. I'm blanking on one other guy, but Brazoban last year was really good at times, had some really bad outings too. But if they have a whole year of like working with him and can control him, he's got some electric stuff. Like between Brazoban, between Davinsky, between AJ Minter, Edwin Diaz, like they have some really good bullpen pieces that if you get me to the fifth inning, in a close game,
yeah,
you have enough bullpen that you can go deep. You can win tight games, but it's going to be more about can the offense hit. That's really what it's going to be.
Yeah, no, it's all about – I actually 100% agree with that. Like, pitching, you can work on it. I think – you ran down the list of guys. I think it's something you can work on, but I think it's going to be about Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, and for instance, Francisco Lindor going out there and hitting the ball all over the place. I don't think the main focus is it is on pitching, obviously. It's on about that as well. But I think more people are going to be focused on can Juan Soto go out and just smack the ball all over the place. I think
he's going to. Again, like unless something crazy happens with Juan Soto this year, again, And I'm going to tell you right now, if Juan Soto starts the season off 0-22, I forgot who asked me this question. It might have been Evan on Rico. But if Juan Soto starts the season off 0-22, and then he comes to the Citi Field, are the fans booing? And I got to be honest with you, they can't. Like, you got to give Juan Soto, and he won't start off that bad anyway. He's just not that he's not built that way.
No.
But you got to give, like, Juan Soto, I wouldn't boo Juan Soto until the first, like, 7 years in. If we have him for 15 years, I'm not going to start getting frustrated with him till at least year 6 or 7.
Well,
you got to give him some time. The same thing with Lindor. Like, Lindor, when people were getting Lindor for the first 2 years, I'm like, dude, he's here for like 13 years. Can we really, like, let's see how bad this guy is. And then he was almost an MVP last year. He came in second place last year. So is Francisco really, Lindor really as bad as we were making him out to be? I don't think so. Listen, was he an MVP? No, he wasn't. Like, we could all sit here and say, he really, the first half of the season was not good enough. He wasn't going to beat Shohei Ohtani, but he was unbelievable that second half of the season. Oh. He basically carried the team. Him, the OMG Iglesias stuff was great, but Francisco Lindor really carried the team.
Well, he's the one that got the team together and called guys out and was like, we're not playing well. We have to change things. And then, boom, June came and they were a completely different baseball team.
Yeah.
And it was for his leadership and his capability and his captainship and just stepping up to the plate, literally and metaphorically, and saying, hey, guys, we got to play better. We stink. Like, let's go. And that's exactly what happened. I agree. Like, the whole season, definitely not. I don't really remember what his numbers were the first half of the season. But
they were terrible.
They were not great.
They were bad. To be honest with you, they were up until May.
They were not great, yeah.
May 27th or something like that was really when they were really bad.
Yeah.
Then, like, you know, they turned, starting like June, they were just, got ridiculous.
Yeah, it was absurd.
It was close to 2 months of really, really bad baseball for Francisco Lindor.
Yeah.
888-808-1019. Coming up, Bill Belichick. I think he's in love. At least that's what I hear. 888-808-1019. What is the one thing that Bill Belichick at his age should not be doing? We will get into that and more. 888-808-1019. Don't forget to download the Odyssey app. If you miss anything at all, you can go back and just press that rewind button and check out what we started with the show at 12. We talked about some giant quarterback situations. We hit the Jets stuff. Got to some Marcus Stroman, Brian Cashman stuff, and we ton to still get to as we take you to 5 o'clock when Richard Neer takes over. But 888-808-1019, hit me up, at Hoff, WFAN. 888-808-1019. Pete Hoff with you on the Fan till 5 when Richard Neer takes over. Now, I saw something that I was a little confused by. Not confused by, but I guess Bill Belichick is really getting you know, friendly with his girlfriend, which is whatever. They're in a relationship. They're both adults. It's fine. But I saw something that there's a possibility that he's falling for her in a way where maybe there may be some sort of proposal in the future. Now, maybe I just breezed by it and read that wrong. But Bill Belichick is 72 years old. She's 27, I think. You know, basically the reverse numbers of Bill Belichick. Like, at that point in time, you don't get married. Like, that's the one thing. We talked about this a little bit on air, I think. We talked about BT and Sal and I. Sal made a point, like, you know, if we were to be billionaires and we were to, you know, what would we do with our lives? And, you know, the one thing that Sal said, because he's just amazing, I wouldn't get remarried. Like, if something happened, like, I would not get remarried. That's the one thing I wouldn't do. And which is, I think that's accurate. I think most people would, I think a lot of people will say it. Like, once you're married, you don't get remarried again. Like, I mean, obviously there's different occasions, whatever. Things happen. I do understand. But for the most part, like, I can't imagine myself ever marrying anybody else. Like, I just don't know if I would want to do it. Even, you know, later in life. Like, it just doesn't seem like something that there'd be like a realistic reason to do that. Especially when there's an age gap like that. Oh, man, I don't know. I would say, Bill, enjoy it. And trust me, there's no reason to settle. At 72, you don't need to settle.
So Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick's girlfriend, is 24.
Oh, 24. She's not even 27. She's 24.
She's not even 27. She's younger than me. And, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Bill, you do you, bro. I mean, you got...
You do
what?
You.
You got. He's got, what, 8 Super Bowl rings?
Yeah, the guy's no, got that's
more,
all good.
The guy's got more money than God. It's funny because because it was Valentine's Day yesterday, there was a big thing about it, and it says, love is not to be judged. And I think, yeah, you're right, yes, but you're 24, you're dating a 72-year-old man. Like, I don't know, like, what do you think?
Well, again, listen.
No, I mean, love is love.
We've all seen things like this in life. It's okay.
Oh, sure.
I'm not gonna judge it so much.
No.
But the point is like where I do get like, don't go the marriage route.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
That to me is for both parties. Well, unless you're someone that's looking for, you know, a payoff, don't go both routes. You know, like listen, and I'm not trying to criticize her at all. I have no idea her lifestyle, I have no idea what she is, but like if she thinks she's gonna get a payday out of it, okay, cool, whatever. But to me, if at that point in time, you don't, at 72 years old, you don't settle down. You just don't. There's no reason to.
No, it doesn't. It just, I mean, again, you're 72 years old. I think you can just, again, like you said, enjoy it. You know, you enjoy each other's company. That's great. But yeah, I think there's definitely a limit, like I guess an age gap cap that you
there
should
is an
set.
Age. There's certainly an age gap there.
There's an age gap between the two of them, but
yes.
There's an age cap in terms of maybe don't get married anymore after a certain
age.
Well,
it's not officially 50 years. Like, there's like, what is it, 48? Is that what the gap is, 48? 72 and 24.
Yeah.
If my math is correct, that's 48 years.
Yeah, that's
my parents are almost married 50 years. There's a 48-year age gap between them.
Yeah.
On that note, let's go to Val in the Bronx. Val, what's going on?
Captain Hoff, what's going on, Don?
Happy Valentine's Day. Or belated
Same to you. Yeah, right after you try to blow up love. And you're trying to mess things up for Mr. Belichick.
I'm just saying, Bill, don't do it. Don't, Bill.
I'm saying, bro, that ain't even nothing, man. Please, Jagger got more on him than that. Jagger had a kid at 70-something years old. So,
De Niro,
was getting married.
Do you know, I think De Niro just had a kid about a year ago. I think he's like 88.
So what's getting married, bro? They dropping seeds. Like, yo. So that's another story altogether.
Yeah, they got to pay no matter what.
I got some Mets and some Yankees for you. But real quick, you said some stuff about that NHL stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
Not for nothing, the NBA with what they did to the All-Star game, bro. They just, like, it was slowly deteriorating. But I think with what they're about to try to do this weekend, they just finally broke it. You know, and the sad thing is, of the three major sports, the NBA was the last one that had the last chance to actually still have an all-star moment that could have been relevant and could have meant something. But the players started to screw it up. And now, like, Silva just said, you know, fine. Y'all don't want to play. I'm just going to break the thing altogether and just, like, I don't even know why they call it All-Star Weekend. You know what I'm saying?
It's stupid.
I got my two guys going, and I don't even know, like, you know, there's anything to say to get excited about the game to really watch them because I don't even understand what's going to be happening when they playing these 4 or 5, whatever, how many of the games they playing. It none of it makes sense to me. So
yeah,
he just broke it. But to get to the two things I called you about, the first one, that Clay Holmes thing, I'm actually kind of, and I'm a Yankee fan, but that kind of intrigued me a little bit because as much as a Yankee fan, we all get on Holmes for all the blown saves and everything like that.
Yeah.
You know, the margin of error was never such that, you know, you a starter, you could afford to give up a run or two and still have a chance to work yourself through your 5 or your 6 innings. You know, as a closer, there's no room for that. You know what I'm saying? So he was always, and the thing that made me think more about it was if they could find a way to just get him to develop, I don't know how ever they're going to get him stretched out for the season, but if they could just find a way to get him to develop some stamina to be able to withstand those 6 innings.
Well, they
you know,
already said... Val, they said that Mendoza said that he's already stretching out to 3 innings already.
So there you go.
He's already, like, ahead of it.
So there's that question. And then the other question is the arsenal of pitches. And it seems like they've already started to address that because supposedly they got him working on his changeup and a few other things that he's trying to throw as well, too. So it's an intriguing kind of experiment. I can't follow you with the Montas thing, but I'm actually intrigued to see. And I think there's a chance that Holmes might actually have a chance to work out.
Yeah, I'm feeling better about it as I hear him talk, but I still got to see it.
Well, no, you definitely do, but I could understand where Stearns would say, this is an experiment to try. You know what I mean? It's not the most outlandish thing in the world.
Yeah.
And to get to my Yankee stuff, this is more of a question for you. I know there was talk, because you know me. I've been saying it for the longest. If we had to go with what we have, I'm fine with Cabrera, you know, battling out and hopefully winning the job from DJ or Peraza as far as the third base job is concerned. I would like for them to do something. But if they had to be that they started the season with internal options, that's where to go. But the one thing that intrigues me about this Jose Iglesias thing is I know he's talking, you know, the question with him why the Mets are not interested is because he's talking multiple years.
Yep.
But I'd be interested to know, do you know what is the actual number he's looking at as far as his yearly rate?
I don't. I haven't heard. I know it's multiple years. I just feel like the number's a little bit higher than what I think he's 35.
Because the thing about it is, like, so put it this way. With GMs and stuff like that, especially when you come around, like, you know, you start getting close to the luxury tax or you're playing around that number and so on, especially with the threshold that they're at right now, you make a move like that to go over for one or two reasons. Either there's a guy that's so bona fide that you absolutely have to have on your squad that, you know, it makes sense. Or the second option, you know, you need like a middling piece and the money that you're talking about is somewhere to be, you know, like, I don't know, 5 to 10 million where even if they put the tax on you, it's not something that's going to hurt you that badly. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so assuming that they can't really do anything with Stroman and I hear people saying, why don't they? Why don't they? It's not about why don't they? They've been the whole reason why they have the problem with him in camp right now is because he knows for a fact they've been shopping him and they've been trying all offseason so far to do something with him. But if you had to keep him and that handcuffed you as far as like trying to go out and trade for like Arenado or something like that.
Right.
If it was just to throw like just a few million, again, I don't know how many years they would have to work with him for. But if the number, the actual yearly rate is somewhere around like, you know, a few million to like, you know, even like the 10, you know, at that point when they tax you, even if it's doubling a little bit more than that, it's not really that bad to say that it's going to kill you like that. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the problem, though. And Val, I got to take a break because I'm sorry. Always got to say something. Sorry about that. Up against a break here. But real quick, I got to be honest. Like, I don't know the numbers on Iglesias, but I've heard numbers from Bregman. I've heard, well, obviously Bregman just signed now. He signed a 3-year $120 million contract and basically it's $40 million a year. You know, like everything that Scott Boras does is always over the top, is always pushing the limits, always trying to get extra money. No, that's great for his clients. That's what he wants to do. I just think that in this situation, again, like the Pete Alonso thing, he's reading the market really bad. Jose Iglesias is an older player. He's a defensive first player, which is great because you need that. But you need to also look at his track record. His track record says he's an average hitter. He hits like 270, 280, whatever it is. That's what he does. He doesn't drive in extra, you know, runs. He doesn't hit home runs. He's got no power. There's not a lot of, you know, he may have been a clutch hitter this past year, but it's all based off of singles. Like, he's not going to be productive like that consistently. It was a lucky year, but what Scott Boras is trying to do is trying to take advantage of it. And he's trying to build, you know, let him get paid this one time because never going to happen again. But I just don't think Jose Iglesias was about to retire last year. And then he stuck with it and took a minor league contract. And then he went from that great season with the Mets, and now we're trying to go overboard with the contract. I mean, it just make it make sense. 888-808-1019, Rob, Eddie, Andre. We'll get to you guys after this update. 888-808-1019. It's time now for Mr. Marco Belletti.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.